said to me, he said, how fast do them darn things go? And that's the first time ever I really knew how fast a dog deemed it go. Well, now, mind you, they drove up the White House, drove around an hour with that sled on wheels, which wasn't too light. So there wasn't anywhere too fresh. And I said, I don't know. And he said, I'm going to clock them going back. So I got my dogs headed his way, and he had his motorcycle out in the front. But that time they'd got kind of tamed down, wasn't so scared. And he had that motorcycle just a-smoking. And when I yelled, all right, well, he just like to tore all the gravel off the sidewalk and headed back for camp. Well, he told me I'd done 25 miles from the White House to the camping ground, five blocks. That's the first clock I'd ever had on him. Well, they wanted me to come back to the fair in 34 and be with a Alaska exhibit, and so I did, and spent a lot of the winter in Washington and talking to everybody there about the highway and getting things all fixed up. And when I got back to the fair, of course, that's where I met Gladys. Yeah. Well, I was fixed up really nice because I was going to stay all the summer. And I had a really swell time. Again, I camped right in the grounds and had my campfire. And we'd have quite a time cooking hotcakes. And everybody standing around watching me flip hotcakes. And everybody come to see one and feed the dogs. And I had a good place to eat. Boy, she was really a nice setup. Of course, I wasn't too sure what kind of a trapper Gladys was going to make, and I was just wondering a little bit about going on back to Alaska and taking her, and about the middle of summer, where they decided they wanted me to go to the fair in California. Well, I wanted to see my folks out there, too, and so we decided we'd go out to the fair in California. Well, of course, you pretty near know the rest of the story. I think I sent it to you. But when I got my dogs to Washington, there was not one of them had a bit of a sore on his feet, which proves that the wolf has just got an awful good foot, because the leader was a little tender. But the wolves, they just didn't have to seem to have a thing in the world wrong with their feet. But, you know, they just never did get used to people. The leader did. He would come out to quite a few people and visit with them and talk with them. Now, of course, the second year at the fair, why, New got to be a good friend of the leader's, and a couple of the other of them kind of made up with him. But every day, he'd never fail. Once or twice, he'd come over and see that dog and bring him something to eat. I called my leader Rembrandt. And he'd come over to see Brandt and pet him and talk to him. And just about every day he'd say, well, he said, that dog's got more sense than about half the people at the fair. But he got so into him, and he'd come, he'd get be 30 feet from the pen, and he'd say, here I come, Brandt. And Brandt would jump up, and he'd come as far as his rope, and they would visit and have a good time. But that year, Mrs. Hoover come to see me, Mrs. Hoover and Hoover. And, of course, Harry S. New brought them over and introduced them. And Mrs. Hoover was awfully fond of the dogs. Oh, she admired them dogs. And she said, oh, I would love to ride with them dogs. And, well, now, I said, I'll tell you what you do. If you'll come over in the morning before fair opens, I said, I'll take you for a ride. She said, would you? Well, I said, sure I would. I said, you be over here before the fair opens. Well, you know, they didn't allow any dogs in the fair. And when she got over there the next morning, there was just nobody in the fair. Few people, little bunches standing around, you know. And so I got her on my sled and started out. Well, of course, I went to bragging. What a... she marveled. Oh, she says, how well those dogs mind you. And I said, oh, yes. They mind every word I said. They just, they're trained that way. And I went on bragging about how well those dogs was trained and how out probably, 25 or 30 minutes with her, and we was just having the best chat and the best time, and a bunch of people we was going by, and something happened. Hell broke loose, and there was a dog, and my dog, I hadn't seen him, but my dog's dead, and they had that dog, and the people was among them screaming, and the dog was yelping, and devil to pay all around. Well, I dropped my sled. I got a supposed to stand on my brake, and I run up and got hold of this darn pooch and got him out of the bunch, and Lord, how he did get out of there. Boy, he just picked him up and put him down and got my dog straightened out. Well, I was feeling pretty silly, I'm telling you, after bragging to her like I did about how good my dogs mind me, and then in that awful mess, and got my dogs all straightened out and again, and got back to the cabin, and I was feeling pretty sick. And when we drove out, why, Hoover was there, and she yelled out, oh, she says we had a dog fight, and I had a very front seat. She just seemed to enjoy that dog fight as much as anything. Here's the name of my dogs. Rembrandt was the leader, of course, and I called him Brandt for short. You just shortened up the name. I seldom named the dog till I got him in a team, and then something prompted me to name him. But it's Rembrandt, Gypsy, Copper, Trombone, Frosty, Wrangle, and Baldy. Baldy was a quarter wolf and a son of my leader, and I aimed to make a leader out of him one day, and I think he'd have made a dandy, but I didn't need it. But there's one more, and I can't think of it, neither Gladys and I, but we'll remember it. Now, the reason I come down between the Coast Range and the Rockies was on account of the road, of course. That's what I come out for, to find out a way to get a road. Well, McDonald was a locating engineer, and he was an awful good one. And he'd been years in that country and knew the country awful well. And he guessed, of course, that that was the best way to come, and we found out afterwards that it was much the best way because there's no muskeg. But I come as close to the Coast Range as I could. For one reason, we figured there'd be less snow, and there was. There was no place that I run into over 18 inches of snow. The reason was there was no muskeg on account of the Japanese current kept that warm. And another thing was that the mountains were high, the Coast Range very high. I don't know what all of them was, but plenty high. And the winds from the coast when the Japanese current would come over, but they would come over so high that they didn't snow. So the snow was very light there, which made it a lot easier on me and my dogs and everybody else. But that's the reason they get those Chinooks over in Canada, the other over around Edmonton and over there, is that the wind comes off of the Japanese current, and it goes too high to light, and it goes right on over the Coast Range and don't come into what they call the trough, that place between the Coast Range and the Rockies. And besides that, it has been near 1,000 miles closer than the way they build a highway. That route was picked out by McDonald and myself and was called number one. Well, by the time we got excitement over the highway, why, they had 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and of course they built one that was as far away as they could possibly get in the worst place possible. Well, I'll switch on to another reel now and think of that other dog's name one of these days. I'll switch on to another reel and open off the... Well, I was working in the App Mine in Northern California and trying to get to be a miner. And I guess just a tramp kid, and it was a very rich mine, and it was pockety, it was quartz, but every once in a while they'd run into a pocket, and boy, there'd gold there, half as big as your thumb. Just lots of it. It was very rich in spots, just in pockets. Well, I was working with a kid that was a worse tramp, I guess, than I was, because I kind of figured him as a tramp. And we was looking at that gold one day, and of course, now, he said, listen, this gold, I've heard about gold mining in Alaska. He said, let's go. Well, all I needed was somebody to suggest something to me, and I was ready to go. So we hailed out. Well, we took a little bundle, and not much money, and bummed away from there to Seattle. Well, in Oregon, we stopped and worked a couple of weeks in a lumber camp. I was pretty fair with an axe, even as a kid, because I've been about raised with one. But when we got to Seattle, why, he backed out. He decided he didn't want to go. Well, I don't know if it's gold. I don't know what it was. I just wanted to go, that's all. I'd got started. And everybody was talking Alaska. Everybody was talking gold. And, of course, once in a while, you'd run across one that'd been there, and he didn't like it. But anyhow, I decided to go. Well, I didn't know anything about boats. I didn't know anything about Alaska, as far as that's concerned. So I just went down. This tub was there, and I asked the captain how much it cost to go to Alaska, and he told me $31, and I'd give it to him. Well, he wasn't going to be ready to go for 4 days. And so I got me a job washing dishes to save my money. And when the boat was ready, of course, I was ready. Well, there were about 30 of us kids on it. Just a tub, and boy, what grub, and what smell, and everything. And the most excitement was on the trip was he ran into the mud once and had to wait till the tide comes in to get off, and the engine quit once, and we had to wait till he fixed that. But the shore was interesting, and we'd catch fish, and wasn't too bad. But the morning of the 16th day, when I woke up, somebody was saying we was in Alaska. Well, we'd been to Alaska quite a while, but we was at Valdez. No, I didn't know where we was going even. They said Valdez, but I didn't know where Valdez was. I hadn't looked on the map. I might have let any of them down as far as that's concerned. But everybody was going to Valdez because that was a way into the interior. Well, they was building a wharf, I believe, but they didn't unload that boat on the wharf. A lighter come out to get us. And the tide was out, of course, and I waited in mud to my knees to get ashore. And didn't even wait for breakfast because I figured breakfast wouldn't be no good anyhow. And I don't know whether they served us or not. I don't think they did. They're ready to get us off. But anyhow, about the first thing I seen in me, a hungry kid, a sign on a tent, all you can eat, was for $5. Well, I frisked myself for $5, and I found only had $1.30. So I went to work with this little sled. They give me one of these Yukon sleds and rope around your neck. You know how they work. And I pulled this full of stuff. He was a trader. He traded with the fellas coming out. He bought what they had and then sold it to somebody else going in. He bought it for nothing and sold it for plenty of money. He really had a gold mine. But I worked 30 hours for that fella, necking.